Listen to this last report for all the updates. Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, and you're listening to the Ross Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Happy New Year! It's the first Friday in January 2007. And for that, we have Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Brian Lowe bringing to you all the latest transactions on the roster just before our first playoff game this weekend.
Thanks, Laurie. We are back with the Patriots roster report, the first one of the postseason, the first one of 2007, and the Patriots and Jets get ready to do battle in the wild card round here at Gillette Stadium on Sunday. The Patriots did not really make too many roster moves this week. The only one they did is one that we're not going to discuss for too long. It was a practice squad addition, running back Quadron Hill out of the University of Miami. He bounced around with Houston and Chicago in the offseason. So perhaps you like it?
Good move.
How does it affect?
He was great at some point in his life because that's how he ended up at the University of Miami. So right. Take a shot with an athlete who was great in high school.
So six years ago, maybe he had one of the box scores that you love. 27
Tremendous.
Carries, 494 yards, 7 touchdowns in one high school game.
You don't get to the University of Miami by accident as a running back or a skill
right.
position player, so
no we'll
problem.
Have to
take a shot with him.
Opening the eyes of Larry Coker, I guess. So
maybe an early candidate for a trip to NFL Europe and a Patriots.com diary.
Wow. Wow. You might want to start that discussion up this
season. We want to get him acclimated to our system. We don't want him over in Europe.
And one unofficial transaction that's been reported, the Patriots signing Jonathan Smith to a futures contract, the wide receiver.
Pro Football Weekly
reported that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you guys for informing me of that. And he was with Buffalo, and then the Patriots brought him in at the very beginning of this season, perhaps only for that Buffalo game because, he knew those guys a little bit, and he was around for a week or two. So he'll be back around.
They did bring him back after that.
Yeah, they kept him back.
That's right.
Later, I think he was active for two games. On the roster for two games. Never caught a ball.
Right.
Well, those transactions don't have too much impact on this weekend's game. So I guess the big story and what we will talk about is some of the injury situation for the Patriots and the Jets, I guess, as well, and how that affects this week's game. And I guess we'll start out at the defensive line position. Ty Warren did not play in the game against the Jets. The Patriots lost here at Gillette Stadium. So there's that. And then there's also Vince Wilfork, who hadn't played in the last three games. Do we expect him to be back? And most importantly, do we expect the Pats defensive line to be at full capacity in the roles that they are here to have like they weren't back in November?
Yeah, I think Wilfork will play. I think he could have played at Tennessee. I know that some of the people that spoke to him, he kind of felt like he was going to play and was surprised that they opted not to. But I think it was one of those deals that Belichick just, erred on the side of caution and, didn't feel like
a sloppy field, an ankle injury.
Yeah, well, he didn't even make the trip.
No, I know, but I'm sure they saw the weather forecast, knew it might be sloppy, rainy. A big guy, a little tweak like that, all of a sudden you lose him for another two, three
Totally
weeks.
Agree. Made a lot of sense. But I do think he will play. Now, at what level of effectiveness, we'll have to wait and see. He hasn't, as you said, Brian, hasn't played in 3 weeks. So that's a pretty good layoff for a guy, that plays kind of a technique-oriented position. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, with the Patriots situation, you have Wilfork in the middle with Warren on one side, Seymour on the other. That's the optimum situation for New England.
And you also have they open in a 4-3 in the first game against the Jets. If you have Wilfork back, you have Warren back healthy, now you're back to your full complement, that five-man rotation, including Seymour, Wright, and Green, mm-hmm. where that becomes an option again. If you have Warren out of the lineup, you have Wilfork even out of the lineup, I'm not sure a lot of four-man fronts are a viable option. So if they're at full strength, maybe that comes into play again.
Right. They'll have the ability to change things up if things aren't working. And now the game against the Jets here in November was one of the few that an opposing team had some solid success running the ball. They had a higher per-carry average than a lot of other teams. And that's certainly in part attributed to the lack of Ty Warren in there and Richard Seymour moving around.
Seymour also still had that elbow
still had
injury.
An injury. He's
fairly
fresh.
And Wilfork really, really got handled that day by the interior of the Jets. Kendall and Mangold, they really pushed Vince around a little bit. I don't expect that to happen. I don't think it happened in any other game, any of the other 12, 13 games that he played. I don't remember seeing anything like that. So I agree with Andy, too. I think that we might see, provided that Will Fork is healthy, and I think he is, I think we might see some four-man line here, because I don't really respect the Jets' running game. I think the priority might be to get in Chad Pennington's face and make him get rid of the ball earlier than he wants to.
And other guys who have missed a couple of the recent games, Benjamin Watson, of course, at tight end. It seemed like there was a chance he was going to play last week. He didn't, but he's been at practice all this week as well. Kevin Falk is another guy very important to this team in big games in the past, in the postseason. And even though Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney seem to be at full strength, having Falk in the mix is of great importance. So those guys have played as well. Now, the big injury situation of this week is Rodney Harrison, but the fact that he's missed so many games over the last couple of years, the Patriots are certainly as equipped as they possibly could be, as prepared as they possibly could be, to handle his loss. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I think James Sanders is the key role there. He's played pretty well with Harrison out of the lineup. Not the same kind of player. You don't see the up-in-the-box, aggressive, blitzing off the edge kind of ability that Harrison has, you know, maybe one of the best ever at that. But he's been sure in his open field tackling, making plays where he was sort of the last line of defense where, you know, all of a sudden an 8, 9, 10-yard run could turn into a 40- or 50-yard run if James Sanders doesn't make the play. He's been making those plays. So, yeah, I think the communication, you know, Hawkins raves about Sanders and how hard he works and prepares.
And players rave about Hawkins, too.
Right. So I do. I think they are better suited to overcome the loss, and frankly, they've done it for long enough where they're comfortable in it. Just, you know, the fact that he's – I know they talk about his energy and all that he brings, but – I think they're relatively comfortable now going to battle without Harrison.
Sanders specifically, because I think he is a far better player today than he was when he was first asked. I mean, let's face it, even in that Jets game, people forget, Sanders didn't start that game. Chad Scott started that game at safety. And I have to think that that was a little carryover effect from the early season action that Sanders got that Belichick obviously didn't think went really well when he filled in on a limited basis for both Wilson and Harrison in that Denver game early on. So he didn't start. Chad Scott did. And they didn't even really bring a lot of defensive backs into that game in sub situations. They didn't even go with Troy Brown, who at that time was playing. They kind of chose to stick with linebackers. And I think that's the reason why you saw so many of those short catches that converted third downs. I just don't like the Jets' chances. I think a lot of the matchups that were in their favor in November, not fluke matchups, there were matchups that were in their favor in November, aren't really in their favor today.
And it is interesting because the Jets passing game, you know, Coles and Cautry are certainly hurt the Patriots in both occasions, both games this year. And one of those was with Rodney Harrison, but that was still only his second game back from his injury of last year. This year, it was the first game that they were without him after his second injury from this year. Now, Chad Scott, who we've talked about, he missed last week's game. He's questionable himself with a back injury. Maybe his presence is a little more important this week. Maybe that's something that's a little overlooked, the possibility that Chad Scott won't be there to provide the depth. Is there a concern that he won't be able to play? And if he doesn't, is there a concern that they'll have a lack of depth overall in the secondary?
Well, you know, you also have Ray Mickens, who you didn't have back then. So they've been playing a little bit off and on without one guy or another. I mean, it has, you know, lately it's been, you know, Scott was out last week. You know, Samuel missed a game back, Green Bay, I want to say. Hobbs missed a game, where he didn't play. Was it Detroit? I'm not sure of the specific games. But lately, it's been one guy or another out, and they've been able to get by. Now, if Scott and Harrison are out, you know, maybe that puts a little extra tension there. But I like the Patriots' chances in the secondary right now. I think as long as I'm still a little concerned with Hobbs. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Well, but I think that Hobbs has tended to get a little bit too aggressive at times and gives up some plays. But I think the secondary is what it is at this point, to steal Bill's phrase. And I think it's good enough, let's put it that way.
And just to look real quick at a few of the Jets' injuries, they do have an extensive injury report. We'll see. I don't expect too many of these, their biggest named guys who are on the injury report to miss the game. But Lavernius Coles is questionable with a jaw injury. Nick Mangold questionable with a thigh. Kerry Rhodes, the outstanding safety, he's questionable with a knee injury. And then a couple guys who are probable include Cedric Houston, one of their running backs, and Chad Pennington as well. Both of those guys have calf injuries. But I don't think any of those guys are expected to miss the game. So it seems like injuries overall shouldn't be a major factor in this game. There aren't a lot of major question marks on either side going to this game, even though there are a lot of players officially questionable. It seems like these two teams will, for the most part, be playing at fairly full strength.
which is good.
Which is
because
good.
Because you don't really want to look back and say, well, they were missing X, Y, and Z, and that really
right. –
it's nice to have them coming into the game with basically the players they've been playing with over the second half of the season, let them line up and get a fair fight and see right. who wins, see and, who comes out on top.
And they'll be playing on a pretty nice field, nicer than
much
they had
nicer
last,
than last
and
time, which was a huge factor in that.
And it looks
if
like
the weather
be
is
great,
anything
yeah.
like it is today, which I think it's going to approach 60 here in New England, or tomorrow, then I think it should be a game where the elements and injuries and all that aren't really part of the equation. Two teams, two rivals, two AFC East rivals going at it. In a playoff game, that's all you can ask for. And of course, the other
and it's
AFC
Sunday at 1. That's also all you can ask for,
right? And the other AFC wildcard game, the Chiefs and the Colts tomorrow afternoon. So the one thing that the Patriots will know going into this game is that if they do win, they'll know immediately where they're headed next week. Both teams will be able to tell because if the Colts win tomorrow, then the Patriots as the if the Colts and Patriots win, the Patriots would be going to San Diego. If the Chiefs and Patriots win, the Patriots would be going to Baltimore the following week. That's going to wrap up this week's Patriots roster report. For Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, I'm Brian Lowe. We're going to send it back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all the updates with the playoffs. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.